AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So after the 2020 elections, a number of states legalized adult use cannabis, including our neighbors to the west, South Dakota, in a very shocking development, at least to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people thinking, wow, South Dakota legalized adult use cannabis before Minnesota. But of course, we do have a bill working its way through the Minnesota legislature that would legalize adult use cannabis. And one of the key players in that bill is Ryan Winkler. He is the current House Majority Leader, and he is from District 46A, which includes portions of the West Metro, like Golden Valley, Plymouth, and St. Louis Park. Hey, Ryan Winkler, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Sure, happy to be here.
Absolutely, Ryan. So tell us about what's in this cannabis legalization bill that you're proposing, and what are the main objectives of it? Obviously, it would legalize adult use cannabis, but there are a lot of other benefits that would be in this bill, too. So talk about that.
Well, the main thing that we want to do is end the criminal prohibition of cannabis and the deep racial injustices that we are seeing and have seen for a long time in the way that our cannabis laws are enforced. In addition to disproportionate arrest rates and disproportionate imprisonment, we also see long-term consequences for people who are caught up in this system. To make it worse, we waste resources. We don't effectively control some of the harms that do exist for cannabis. And we end up depriving a lot of people of the benefit of using cannabis, whether they are veterans, seniors who find some relief in it, or people who just want to use it for their own personal decisions because they can make safe decisions as adults on how to use it.
And how does the bill that you're proposing compare to some of the other states that have recently legalized it, including Illinois and South Dakota? Because as I've taken a look through it, it's certainly one of the most progressive legalization bills I think we've seen in the entire country.
Well, we want to end the black market. We want to make sure that we are creating a safe, regulated marketplace where people can get access to a product and know what they're getting. We want to expunge criminal records of people who've been involved in the criminal side of this business for the last many years. And we want to make sure that we are creating an equitable marketplace, equitable in the sense that people who have been caught up in the criminal system have a chance to enter. Communities that have been hard hit by the war on drugs are able to be part of the business upside of it. And we want to make this a Minnesota-based craft and small business kind of industry. So we're able to do a lot of those things in this bill. And we're just starting through the committee hearing process. And we think it will get better along the way. But the goal is really to make a safe legal product, right past wrongs, and get Minnesota the ability to use this product in a way that meets their personal needs.
So let's say that someone is 21 years or older and they're interested in recreationally using cannabis in Minnesota. And if this bill were to go through and get passed into law, what would that process look like for someone who, of course, is of age and legally able to buy cannabis in Minnesota for adult use? What would that process look like?
Well, we would have a system set up where you have to have a license in order to be a grower, a manufacturer, a distributor, and a retailer. Every community in Minnesota would have to participate. Of course, local zoning laws would apply. But if you are of legal age and able to buy, then you would go to a retailer in your community. Potentially, there could be a delivery service. And there would be various products with dosage requirements, packaging limitations, and so forth. And you could go into a store and buy it.
Oh,
I should also say that we do allow a limited amount of home grow for cannabis, up to 8 total plants, 4 of which can be producing cannabis at any one time.
Yeah, there are a lot of benefits in there, including the idea that, people can be allowed to grow it on their own, which of course is obviously illegal right now, and in many other states that's the case too. And I like the benefit you're talking about as well, where you can also potentially have it delivered. So certainly a lot of good things to like. But another part I want to focus on is that criminal justice reform that you were alluding to a few moments ago. Now, obviously, we know with this legalization bill, Republicans are still in the majority in the Senate, and Paul Gazelka, the majority leader, pretty much has no interest in legalizing cannabis. But what about at least the criminal justice reforms that are being proposed? Could we at least see some action on this during the session in terms of maybe expunging records and other criminal justice reforms?
Well, first of all, I have not given up hope that we can get this done. When South Dakota legalized, cannabis got almost as many votes as Donald Trump did in a very conservative state. And I'm hearing from my Republican colleagues that they're interested in doing this. The real challenge, of course, is Senator Gazelka and his desire to be able to have Republicans basically falsify themselves as cannabis candidates in order to spoil our elections. But I think that the more obvious that is and the stronger the bipartisan support we have, the more difficult it is for him to continue holding on to that position. So we'll see. I'm not giving up hope. And if we can't get that, then certainly opponents are starting to talk already about making our medical program work better. And they are beginning to talk about the injustices in the current system. So I'm not giving up hope on the whole package. And I'm already seeing signs that on the criminal justice side, as well as the medical side, that we might be able to make some progress.
Yeah, and as you said, in South Dakota, they obviously legalized that last fall. And even if you look at polling numbers along the lines of Republicans, conservatives, and even Trump voters, there is a surprising amount of support for legalizing it. So the question is, at least politically, how do you connect the dots that it's actually Republicans that are holding up this bill and holding us up from being able to actually legalize it?
Well, when the House moves a bill through and we pick up bipartisan support as we go along and send the bill over to the Senate, we expect that they'll have to have a vote at some point, and then we'll see what they do with it. And that's the point. Once the advocates and the people who are paying attention to this see action and see what kind of bill we're creating and that we're working with Republicans, it will be harder for Senator Gazelka to say that this is about a policy difference. Instead, it looks more and more like just a partisan election play that he's trying to hold on to.
Yeah, and let's be honest, that's completely what it is, because I imagine if you were to candidly talk with a number of Republicans, whether they're in the House or the Senate, they probably would be in favor or just say, I don't really care that much. Let's just go through, get this done with, get it over with. But they, of course, see many electoral benefits by keeping it illegal in Minnesota, as we saw last fall, where for the most part, that pretty much cost the DFL the majority when we had a number of third-party legalized cannabis candidates running in some of these legislative races that were siphoning off votes away from DFLers. So I don't know necessarily how you combat that in the 2022 election cycle and beyond, because the way I look at it, as long as Republicans are able to siphon votes away from DFLers with these third-party candidates, they probably aren't going to have much motivation to actually get this bill passed.
Well, I think it starts by showing our genuine commitment to getting this done, and then we are looking at all options through the campaign season to address this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, I even had someone suggest, well, what if we just had people run QAnon candidates to siphon votes away from Republicans to maybe try something along their playbooks? But yeah, certainly it's going to be very tough. And yeah, you guys will be going through and trying to figure out a political strategy to get this done. And another question I had, just to go back to what you were talking about in terms of forcing a floor vote on the Senate, that would be possible if it does pass the House. Is that what you were saying?
Well, I don't want to get too deep into legislative strategy, but in one form or another, we would expect that the Senate will have to let its position be known pretty clearly.
Now, you also held some listening sessions around the state talking about legalization of cannabis. The DFL has been doing this for the past, I believe, year plus or so. Curious to hear what you were hearing from constituents, whether they're in the metro or outstate Minnesota, or even from different political persuasions. What were you hearing as you guys were conducting those listening sessions?
What I found interesting is that we heard pretty much the same thing every place we went. We heard that the medical program is too restrictive and too expensive for people to be able to use it, that veterans and seniors were finding a health benefit and that they would like cannabis to be legalized so it's more affordable and easier for them to get access to it. We heard the statewide understanding of the racial injustice in our criminal approach to this. And we just heard from a lot of people who think that they should be able to safely use this product and not be criminalized for doing something that is less dangerous than alcohol and cigarettes.
We're speaking with Ryan Winkler. He is the House Majority Leader, representing District 46A, portions of the West Metro, including Golden Valley, Plymouth, and St. Louis Park. I want to switch gears and, of course, talk about one other topic that is big at the state legislature, and that has to do with additional COVID relief. What sorts of relief are we looking at least in the House of Representatives here in the state, and what could we possibly do on the Senate side to get a bill put together to allow Minnesotans to have more additional relief, even after we potentially are going to get something passed at the federal level?
We are looking at a big range of things. With our labor partners, we are working on legislation to make sure that essential frontline workers are getting emergency paid leave like they need. We're looking at making sure that as the hospitality sector goes back to work, that the workers who were laid off get to be first in line for being hired back. We're working on bills to protect poultry and meatpacking workers from disease and making sure that they are safe when they go back to work or as this disease continues. We're also looking at making sure that Minnesotans have access to childcare and housing and all the other kinds of basic economic security measures that are essential under COVID. What's really promising is the level of federal action, the fact that the Biden and Joe Biden and Senate and House leaders are determined to pass a big package regardless whether Republicans feel good about it or not. And that federal relief is really a much larger scale than what the state has resources to provide. And I am very hopeful that between federal action and our state action, Minnesotans will be well positioned to come out of this pandemic better off in some ways than we were going into it.
Yeah, and obviously at the federal level, getting additional state and local aid would certainly be a big piece of that bill nationally, and that would have a big impact, I would think, in the state legislature as well to get access to those additional federal funds to help things out. Because as you said, it's tough to do this at the state level when we're looking at the scale of the issues that we're facing right now with COVID-19. So yeah, certainly if we get something at the national level that would provide additional state aid, it would go a long way to helping us.
It would. I'm also, we haven't talked much about it, but the fact that they're looking at a $15 an hour federal minimum wage.
Yes.
And, you know, we also are looking at longer term economic security issues, like making sure that we have a robust public option in healthcare so people can get access to affordable health insurance if they're not getting it other places. We're making sure that paid family and medical leave is a top priority so that we don't end up in this situation again. We're trying to create a child care system that allows everyone to get access to child care in Minnesota in a way that's affordable. So it's not just the short-term relief, which we'll work on with our federal partners, but it's also laying the ground for a more equitable state going forward and a more economically secure state going forward.
And you just mentioned something about a possible public option here in Minnesota. I know that's been proposed over the years with different ways that people could potentially buy into Minnesota Care. Are we looking at doing another type of bill like that this year? Because I would think with the pandemic, that would only just exacerbate the needs for having an actual public option for people to be able to buy into, whether at the federal level or here in Minnesota, allowing people the option to buy into Minnesota Care.
Yeah, we have a very robust, strong bill. It's already had one bill hearing, and we'll begin moving through the process as we go forward. And, you know, we're kind of at the part of the legislative session where we're getting bills ready. We're starting the hearings. We're not ready to pass them yet because we have to go through the steps of public input and so forth. But I think you'll have a very strong package of legislation coming through the Minnesota House this year to protect Minnesotans' health, to protect their families and their incomes, to create economic security in the years ahead, and to invest in the public services that Minnesotans really count on to have a good quality of life. I think it will be a very strong session for us.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of good bills that you guys are proposing over there in the State House, and hopefully we see a number of these get enacted into state law. So lots to follow along in the current legislative session. That is House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler, District 46A, which includes portions of Golden Valley, Plymouth, and St. Louis Park, as he was joining us to talk about cannabis legalization and some of the other bills working their way through the state legislature. Representative Winkler, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
It was my pleasure. Have a good afternoon.
All right, got it recorded, Ryan. Hey, thanks again for the time. Always appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Take care.
All right, that's your Friday interview here on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll take a break and turn things back over to Matt McNeil up next.